You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, the Sheboygan Police Department is considering a move to encrypt their radio transmissions, meaning the public and the media wouldn't be able to pick up those signals. We'll learn about what that could mean for residents and the police. First, if you were a child in the 1990s, you were probably exposed to the American Girl dolls and their characters' place in history. Dolls like Molly McIntyre, whose story is told through the lens of the Second World War, or Kirsten Larsen as a young Swedish immigrant learning to live on America's frontier. These dolls helped introduce children across the country to significant historical periods and experiences. And with the company's announcement of a new historical character, Melody Ellison, a young African-American girl growing up in 1960s Detroit, there has been a retrospective look at the first Black American girl doll. Addie, who told the story of being a slave who escaped to freedom in the 19th century. Aisha Harris is a culture writer for Slate magazine and the host of its podcast, Represent. She recently wrote a piece looking at American Girl's first Black doll. Last week, Central Time's Rob Ferret spoke with Aisha Harris.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, first of all, how does this new American Girl doll, Melody, fit in with the rest of the American Girl lineup?
Well, she's the newest American Girl in their historical line, which was sort of the bread and butter, and still is, I think, of the what used to be called the Pleasant Company and is now called American Girl. And Pleasant Rowland, she started the company back in 1986, and she had it in mind that she wanted to create these mail-order dolls that were historically based. So they were dolls, but they also had character, like a actual story behind them. And each one was from a different time period, and they had books to go along with them, a set of books. And so Melody is the newest one, and she is actually only the third Black doll they've released in this line. The first one was Addie Walker, and she was set in the end of the Civil War and was born into slavery. And the second one they released, and that one was released in 1993. The second doll, Black doll they released, her name was Cecile, and she was released in 2011, so about 18 years later, and she was not a slave, though she was her period was even earlier than Addie Walker's, and her period was about the 1850s New Orleans. She was sort of a wealthy, well-to-do young Black girl. And then Melody is set in the 20th century in the early 1960s in Detroit during the Civil Rights Movement.
And when there are so few African-American dolls, not just from this one company, it was a big deal, I understand, when the Barbie people came out with an African-American line. And when you're coming up with that first one, like the Addie Walker doll, that's a lot of weight. A lot of this one doll, in a way, has to represent somehow all of the experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the problem, I think, is that because Addie, and, you know, I don't think they anticipated that it would have been so long to create between when they created the Addie doll and when they created another Black doll. But I think that's part of the issue with that and why the fact that she was born into slavery, there were a lot of critics at the time and still are of her having to have been a slave. The question was why? Like, why can't she be? Because when you compare her stories to the other stories they had for their white dolls, you know, Felicity was a plucky colonial Williamsburg girl. Samantha was an orphan, but she had a wealthy grandmother and was living in the early 1900s. You compare their stories to Addie's, it's like it deals with a very, very sensitive topic. And Pleasant Rowland, you know, she had, I give her credit for having the foresight to actually have, like, say, outsource and say, well, we need to have a formal advisory board in creating this doll. At that point, they had different people, historians, occasionally give their opinion and perspectives on the dolls, but they didn't have a formal advisory board until Addie came along. And that advisory board was comprised of a bunch of different Black historians and academics who gave their input on the doll, as well as the author, Connie Porter.
I want to get more into Addie Walker in a bit, but let's talk for a minute. I think some people, maybe especially the guys out there, might be thinking, it's just dolls, so what? What is the importance of having, I guess, seeing ourselves in the toys that are on the shelves? Or by mail order, in the case of American Girl.
Yeah, I mean, that's representation is important, and it's especially important to people who are not white and living in this country, because it's so. Even now, today, obviously, there are still issues with representation, although it's way better than it was back in the 90s. You have more options. There are more dolls out there who look like myself or look like other little black girls to choose from. But it's really important to see yourself in dolls. And you know, I growing up, my parents, my dad especially, he was like, we never had a white doll. And Santa was also black. Like, no white Santas in our house. It's because if you don't see yourself in those dolls, then you start to think about what are these aspects of, especially for little girls, the idea of beauty and what's beautiful. And, you know, they've done studies. This is the infamous study from the 50s or 60s where they had little black kids pick out between a black doll and a white doll. And, you know, the black kids would give positive connotations to the white dolls and negative connotations to the black ones. So it's very important. It's crucial to have dolls that are beautiful, that look like yourself.
We're talking to Aisha Harris, Slate culture writer and host of the Slate podcast Represent, talking about African Americans and dolls and the few and far between dolls that represent black girls. And Aisha, I want to go back to prehistory of modern doll production. Once upon a time, you're right, there were a lot of dolls showing African Americans. They were not good. They were stereotypes.
Right, yes. There were, you know, some of them are called gollywogs, and they tended to look sort of very much similar to what we think of as blackface and minstrelsy. Very bright red lips, very, very, you know, dark skin, hairs. And they were meant to sort of just, they did not look like what black people actually look like. And they were also often intended for white children to play with, and white children would play with them. And there have been academics who have written about this extensively, about the fact that when it came to black dolls, they would often be used for more nefarious purposes of burning, throwing. They weren't taken care of in the way that you would take care of a white doll. So there's definitely a very long history of black dolls existing. And before, you know, the 60s and 70s and up until now, they were often used as a source of very violent play.
Let's get back to the story of the creation of Addie Walker, American Girl's first African-American doll. There were doubts from the top of the company that whether they should do this at all, would black people buy a doll by mail order?
Yeah, I mean, Pleasant Roland, I did a little bit of digging. I wasn't able to actually interview her for the piece, but I was able to find in some newspaper clippings at the time, she made some rather dubious, I think, or it was up in the air whether or not this was true, but she said that she felt as though there wasn't a market at the time when she founded the company in 1986 for black mail order dolls. And so that was her hesitancy. And I guess by 1990, 91, when they started developing the Addie doll, and at that point they had made, the company was like a million, maybe even I don't know if it was $1 billion, I can't remember. It was a big business by then. So it was around that time in the early 1990s when they decided, well, yeah, we can take a chance now.
And a lot of work went into Addie's backstory. She and her mother, I believe, escaped from slavery, end up free in Philadelphia. Can you talk about some of the turning points, the tough decisions that they were making and how to tell that story?
Yeah, I mean, Connie Porter, the author, I think one of the great things about the book is that it presents slavery in a way that is, and this is also due to the advisory board as well. They worked on it to make sure it was appropriate for, you know, kids as young as, I was 5, I think, when I first encountered them, and as long as 6, 7, 9. And, you know, it captures, I think, really well the difficulty of her, Addie, and her mother having to run away, because it's not just Addie and her mother. She's leaving behind her baby sister, and they leave her behind because they're worried that if they run away, she'll make too much noise because she's like an infant. So I think it really it captures that the difficulties and the trauma that comes with that. And then just the whole runaway itself is very heartbreaking and tense, and it just does a really good job, I think, of exposing kids to slavery, perhaps for the first time. I think for a lot of people, it was the first time they had encountered it, and I think it does it in a way that really works well for kids that age.
Another difficult issue was Addie's hair. How, I guess, authentically African-American to make it? If they make it too coarse, would white girls want to play with this doll and comb its hair? How did they end up deciding that?
Yeah, from I spoke with a few of the advisory board members and also the author, Connie Porter, and they all had input on what occurred with the hair. And what they would do is there were several prototypes over the course of the entire development of the doll, and they all had a chance to examine the doll and give input into her hair, but also the accessories and her look. And they would send around the prototype because it was the 90s, and I imagine now they would all have they would all have a copy or a prototype of their own, but they would mail it to the next person after they looked at it. And eventually I think they compromised because Pleasant Roland, at least according to one of the advisory board members, she was indeed concerned about the hair being not easy to comb. And so I think they came upon a compromise that they felt was good enough. And so it was textured and it felt less, it wasn't silky straight like most black dolls would have been and still are to this day. There is a lot of input and a lot of weight on that. And I remember just being, that was the only doll I think I ever owned that had hair that was even close to what mine felt like.
Yeah, can you wrap up, Aisha, by talking about what Addie and maybe some of the other dolls you encountered meant to you growing up?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I would often get Barbie dolls and I would play with them for like a week. I was definitely more of a stuffed animal kind of kid. I played with those a lot more. But Addie, I wanted her. I got the American Girl catalogs and I pleaded for it and I got it for that Christmas. And it was rough because I enjoyed playing with her, but then I also, like I mentioned in the piece, I felt as though it was sort of the first time I noticed that my sort of ancestry, my history was different from my white peers. And it was different in a way that felt uncomfortable and felt not shameful, but it felt sort of embarrassing to some extent. But at the same time, I think that she's so important and she meant so much to so many little girls, and it's great that she exists, and I'm really happy now that there's more than just her and that we have someone like Melody, and hopefully it won't be as long of a distance between the next black doll that we get from American Girl.
Aisha, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Aisha Harris, culture writer for Slate and the host of Slate's podcast, Represent. Harris spoke with Central Times' Rob Ferret last week about her article, The Making of an American Girl, which told the story of the company's first African-American doll.